I got it to today, which at one level is a lovely kind of inspiring story about how Rav Yonai learns how to achieve Derech Eretz. And at one level, that's really what the message of the Agadah is. However, as is frequently the case, when you start probing deeper, you find that there is another level of meaning. And sometimes that meaning is a little obscure, but it's pretty clear that there's more going on than meets the eye. Not that what meets the eye isn't important. I think it is. But we need to probe and probe. I always say it's like learning a sugya. You know, the sugya is a riyah to the sugya. You kind of like go through it and it has a certain meaning. But the more cautious and the more you probe, the more you see the sugya is much more rich and complex than that. And even if you can't quite figure out what the bottom line is, you know, but nevertheless, you know that there's something percolating. So that's what I want to do with you today. The story is told about Rabbi Yonai. Who was a part of the Tana, part of the, going to sit down there, part of the, here, Phil, we'll pass it down to you. There you go. But Rabbi Yonai was part of the school of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. You ever hear of the expression Tana Devei Yonai? So he had his own base medrash eventually, and it was a great, 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 great Talmud Chacham. Okay, so it goes as follows. This is from Vayikra Rabbah. Davar Acher, V'sam Derech. Pasuk says, V'sam Derech, Amar Rabbi Yonai, V'sham Ksiv. It's really there. Well, Sham means Sham. D'shayim Arche Sage Shave. Whoever assesses his ways is doing something of great value. He's doing something that's sage shave. It's a lot. So that's how Rav Yonai reads the pasuk. A person should be shayem orche. A person should, and this is a good musar haskel for Elul or Rosh Hashanah. We should always be shum orche. We should always assess, you know, are we doing the right thing and not the right thing? How can we improve? It's part of the message of this. I got it. It's one of the reasons I've chosen it for an Elul Limud. In any case, that's the prologue. As I've mentioned many times in the past, Midrashim in general often have a prologue, the body of the Midrash, and an epilogue. And you'll see that this follows the same pattern. There's a pasuk, a drash and a pasuk, a story, which is cited to exemplify the drash, and then the return to the pasuk to kind of summarize and conclude the overall message. Ma'aseh b'Rabbi Yonai shehaya mahalech baderech. Rabbi Yonai was walking along the road. Does that word road sound familiar? Yeah, it should. Why? Because I just mentioned it. Some of Hashem Derech. So he happens to be walking along the road. So there's a theme here of Derech. And as we'll see, it's ultimately about Derech Eretz. Because that's the message that Rabbi Yonai eventually learns from this encounter. Rather shocking one that we will just see soon. So it's all about the path to the path of Eretz. Derech, Derech Eretz. Derech to Derech Eretz. The Ra'a Adam Echad, he's walking along the road, and he saw a person, Shehaya Meshupa B'Yoser. Now, that phrase is obscure. Anybody know what it means? What? Okay, he's slanted. It means literally slanted. But what does it mean in this context? Okay, bad posture?
Humble.
Like me? What?
Humble.
Humble? That's a possibility. Good. Excellent. So, one possible interpretation, if you look at the Masoras HaMedrash, Midrash, top left, see it? See the little parish on the... Shafel V'anav. He was, look, modest, L'chein Chashav Shehu Chacham. And therefore, he thought that he was a wise man. I'm not so sure how well that follows. Not every person who is wise is modest, and not every person who is modest is wise. So the inference here seems a little troubling, for at least the Masoras HaMedrash's pshat. Another pshat, which is mentioned in the Eitz Yosef and in the Matnos Kuhuna, to Perushim, one on the right, one on the bottom of the Medrash, is that he was dressed in impressive garb, and he dressed like a Talmud Chacham, and so he thought he was a Talmud Chacham. Excuse me?
Does that fit the word?
I don't know. But that's the pshat that they both give. In some ways... What's that? Shefa of Torah, the flowing of Torah. Maybe his clothing flowed. Actually, that's an interesting thought. And maybe they wore robes in those days, and so he was very beautifully robed. Maybe the room, right? How's that? I just thought of that now. Maybe. Thank you. Could be. In any case, not clear what the word means. It's the Imre Yosher, one other pshat, by the way, but on the left-hand side, you see that? See, they're all often the Farshim try, because it's not obvious what it means. Imre Yosher, Ratzlama Hodur Yosher, very impressive looking. Adam Shal Tzura Chash, he's a person who gave often, I had what might be called gravitas. You know what gravitas means? From the word gravity. Gravity is from gravitas, which means presence. Right? There's something about his appearance. In short, however we're to read this, is something about this man's appearance which profoundly impressed Rabbi Yonai, because what does he do? He says to Amarle, Mashkach Rabbi Miskablo Gabon. Would Rabbi be so kind as to look upon us and accept an invitation? That's a very ornate way of inviting somebody for dinner. Why do you think the language to use was so ornate and so also a little obscure? Mashkach bay, look upon it. Miskabla gabana, be accepted by us. It's a very kind of odd way to say, would you like to come for dinner? You know, why did he use such an ornate language, do you think? So one possible answer is that he was so impressed with him that he spoke to him as if he was a person of extraordinary stature. You know, when you meet up with a person of great stature, at least once upon a time anyway, you would treat him with great respect and deference, and this is like a very deferential kind of invitation. So there must have been something about this person's appearance which was extraordinary, because typically, you know, you're walking down the road, 150th Street, right? Pass somebody in the street. Do you invite them for dinner? I mean, you might invite somebody for dinner if you're a great Baal Tzedakah, if the person looked very poor, impoverished, disturbed, you know, you might, you know, somebody needy, you might want to invite the person in. But that's not the case here. In fact, it's quite the reverse. So just because you see somebody impressive in the street, do you invite them for dinner? So why do you think he invited them? Because he must have been extraordinarily impressive. Just extremely powerfully impactful. Okay, wow, that's really something. What are we up to here? Was he a great Anav? Was he dressed like a Talmud Chacham? Did he have a tzura of Hadr Yoser Ben Torah? We don't know. Okay, let's continue with the story. Amarle, so he answers him in.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. His answer is the antithesis of the question. The question is formulated in an extremely ornate way, whereas the answer is modest, simple, stripped down, in a way that's impressive, right? He's not like playing games. In a way, Rabbi Yonai was sort of acting a role, in a way. He's like, in, yeah, okay. Accepts immediately. So the whole thing begins to look, continues to be more and more puzzling. Hichnisa lebesa, he brought him into his house. He'echilo v'hishko, gave him food to eat, he gave him drink to drink. Bedako, b'mikra v'lo mitzal. And he checked him out to see if he was knowledgeable in mikra. Wasn't. Mishnah, checked him out to see if he was knowledgeable in mishnayas. Or Mishnah. V'lo mitzal. He did not find him to be knowledgeable in Mishnah. Ba'agada. Our Agada to hear. Checked him out. Did you hear the Agada about Rabbi Yonah? V'lo mitzal. had no expertise in Agada. But Talmud, lo mitzal, no expertise in Talmud. You know what the difference is amongst all of these different specialties of Torah learning is? So the Mishnah is kind of obvious. Mikra is kind of obvious. Mishnayos weren't written down yet. Right? Rabbi Yehuda Anasi was the one who compiled the Mishnahs around the time of Rabbi Yanai. So maybe some were compiled. But when it says Mishnah, it probably means the body, the core body of Torah Shebaal Peh that had been handed down from generation to generation. The Talmud, what is Talmud?
Talmud Bavli.
That didn't exist. It hadn't been written for centuries. No. So what does Talmud mean? Excuse me? Yes, correct. Talmud is the Talmud is the capacity to make inferences from Mishnayos. In other words, the Mishnah A says this, Mishnah B says this, A and B seem to be inconsistent. We'll resolve the inconsistency by postulating such and such a halacha. It's an Mishnah A says B, from Mishnah A says halacha this, from halacha this it follows halacha Bays, from halacha Bays it follows halacha's Gimel, so therefore whatever. In other words, it's working things out. Our Talmud, our Gemara, is an expression of that, as it got written down. And now, every time you learn Gemara, you are engaged in Talmud, not because you're learning Talmud, because if you learn Be'in, you're doing what Talmud is, drawing inferences from and trying to figure out and work through the implications of the Gemara. So, the text from which Talmud is generated evolves from generation to generation. The text for the Amoraim, from which they engaged in Talmud, was the Mishnah. The text for the Rishonim, from which they engaged, was the Gemara. Now, our Talmud includes the Gemara, it includes the major Rishonim, the Rambam. It, you know, you see how it's part of our, you know, what we've received over time, our Kisvei HaKodesh in the broadest sense. And Agada, of course, is Agada. I'm a little puzzled by the... First of all, what, does he give him a faher? Do you do this every time you invite somebody for dinner? You're like, check him out? Hey, how does he know Baba Kama?
He only invited him on the basis that he was impressed by his...
You're absolutely wisdom. Correct.
So he wanted to, you know, to...
Do you check him out? It might Merv and... No, Badako means you... Live dog means you're like Badika's comments. You know, you really check... He proactively checked out this guy's learning. That's a kind of an unusual thing to do. Yes, you're right. So he thought he was very wise, or Talmud Chacham, so I would engage him in conversation, you know, talk and learning. You see two Rosh Hashivas, they get together, what do they talk about? They talk and learning, you know, that's what they do. Talk to him and learn it. But that's not what it says here. It doesn't say that he talked to him and learning. It says that he investigated him. So how do you interpret that? That's an unusual way to treat a guest.
Something happened during the meal that caused
got indigestion.
Yeah, put his elbows on the table and said, something going on.
I don't, there's no evidence for that. What I think this is that he was so impressive that he had to check him out. There was something about this man's appearance. What exactly it is, we don't know, but there was something about his appearance that was in a way provocative. It provoked a response. Rabbi Yonig wanted mativo, you know the Gemara's expression, mativo shalubarze. Like, what is this? Like, who is this person? Right. So, if that's you get that seems like a reasonable interpretation, right? So that just multiplies and intensifies the remarkable appearance of this man that Rabbi Yonig was called upon to check him out. Now, one thing I find a little puzzling is the order in which he checked him out. If you saw a great Talmud Chacham, you know, when you wanted to talk to him and learn, you wouldn't start with Mikra. if he didn't know Mikra, then you wouldn't go to Mishnah. If he didn't know Mishnah, you wouldn't go to Talmud, because Talmud assumes a knowledge of Mishnah. Mishnah assumes a knowledge of Mikra. I'm not sure. Assumes a knowledge of maybe a lot of things, I'm not sure. But the order here is interesting. Anybody have?
It's not on a lower level, every single concept. So
well, I don't know.
He has experience and knowledge in one thing, and he thought, well, he's not competent, so maybe it's something less.
But it's not less. That's the problem. It's an ascending order of difficulty, not descending. Right. In other words, you know, if a mathematician walks into a room and another mathematician sees him, they might start talking about, I don't know, some complex theorem. If he doesn't know the more complex theorem, they'll go to something more basic until they get to the ABCs. But here he went the opposite. Started with the ABCs and went up. So I don't really have an answer to that question. Anybody can help me? I would be appreciative. I don't know why the order is as it appears. Okay, so Amarle, Rabbi Yannai said to him, Savbrich, come and bench. Lead the benching. Lead the benchings. Bench out loud. Amarle, Yevarach Yannai bebeisei. Let Yannai bench in his own house. Now, what do you infer from that? They didn't know how to bench. Yeah, so Yannai interprets this to mean that he couldn't even bench. Now he didn't say that. He said, no, you know, you're the balabas, you should have the honor of benching, but you're supposed to offer benching to a guest, halachically. So I don't know if the halach existed or beyond Rabbi Yannai's time, but that's you know, kind of the courtesy. And the guest is now responding courteously, no, balabas should bench, but that wasn't the norm. And of course, Rabbi Yannai picked up on that. And that's where Rabbi Yannai inferred from this that he couldn't even bench. We're not talking about somebody who, you know, maybe got an Aleph minus in Gemara. You know, he couldn't even bench. Okay, let's continue. Amarle, Ispach Emar Mada Ana Amalach. Can you repeat after me? If I say a sentence, can you repeat it after me? Which is about as low as you can get. So here's the sentence. He said, Amalei in, yes, same in he said before. Amalei, he said to him, Emar say, Achal kalba piste de Yannai. A dog ate the bread of Yannai. Now, if that isn't nasty, I don't know what is. Now, repeat after me. A dog ate my bread. So now he has to be saying of himself that I'm a dog and I ate Yannai's bread. So now we need to ask ourselves, Yannai was a great Talmid Chacham. This is just, he's just nasty. I mean, he's humiliating him. Don't just say it, repeat after me. I am a, dog, dog, I ate the, you know, it's like, repeat after me. It's like awful. Now, what would have provoked Rabbi Yannai, even if he was, let's say, even if he got an Aleph Midas and Derech Eretz, say, right? You know, what would have provoked Yannai to be so nasty towards this guest? I mean, this is the title of my shiur. Rabbi Yannai invites a guest for dinner, then calls him a dog. Fair question, isn't it? So what would you suggest as an answer?
He was trying to... he was so upset at him for look, appearing to be...
Good. Mayor, X, you're going to say the same thing?
Yes, yes.
Okay, excellent. Excellent point. Yes, I think that's correct. Rabbi Yannai felt that he was an imposter.
Facade.
He was an imposter. He made believe as if he were... You know, to get dressed up, imagine somebody, you know, in Eretz Yisrael, to some extent here too, Rosh Hashivas, how Rosh Hashiva doesn't, but in some places Rosh Hashivas wear a certain garb. You know, they wear the rekel, you know, the long thing, and they wear a special hat, and in Eretz Yisrael it's very, very common, here less so. You know what I'm talking about? You've seen the East. So if somebody got dressed up like that and walked, you know, with gravity and seriousness and... think he's concentrating on the latest daf or whatever is sheer. You know, he carries himself in a certain way, dresses in a certain way, and it turns out he's a total ignoramus. That's aggravating to somebody who sees it. That means that this person is making believe that he is what he isn't, and leading people to think that he's a great Talmid Chacham by the way he carries himself, by the way he dresses, depending upon the pshat. And that provoked Rabbi Yannai. If he's an imposter, he could be a dog too. his own identity is kind of fluid. Like, who is he? Who is this guy? Which is, I think, one of the themes of the Agadah. Yes.
May I ask a question?
Sure, please.
But although Rav Yonah was appalled by this man's preposterous actions, he still could have held himself back and not resulted to such an extreme approach.
Excuse me? What were you saying?
Although Rav Yonah was appalled by the fact that he still
could have resisted saying so.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, that shows true respect and true self-restraint.
Right, and Rav Yonah did not possess
that.
This is a failure as the...
On both sides.
Yes, 100%. Absolutely correct. And in fact, this is... Remember, Rav Yonah is the one who said, "Deshayim arche sage shave." Rav Yonah learns from this story to acquire derech eretz. In other words, he regrets what he did. That's the end of the Agadah. It continues, but at the very end, he regrets it, and that's exactly... He should have behaved differently. But that doesn't take away the sting of the original question, which is, this is really, really awful, just unacceptable behavior. And I'm not even sure if the answer we gave is a sufficient answer. In other words, is imposturing enough to provoke Rav Yonah into such extreme accusatory behavior? Yes, Grant.
I was like, how exclusive was it to dress like a bentoro? Meaning, like, nowadays, if someone would dress like a doctor, then it's like a...
Wear a white shirt, Grant.
You
gotta wear a white shirt.
I'm saying, like, as a crime, if someone would dress as a doctor, you know, because very few people are actually doctors. So, if at the time very few people were, in fact, so for you to dress like that actually really is terrible thing. It's very smart time where it's accurate.
Yeah, you are in effect creating expectations on the part. They have to treat you with a certain degree of respect. By the way, here's another I would suggest piece of this. Dogs back then were today's cats in Yerushalayim. What do cats do in Yerushalayim? What? Aggravate you. They're scavenging for food, right? They're jumping from garbage pan to garbage can to garbage can. It's got cats scavenge. That's what dogs did in those days. Dogs are always hungry. That's in the period of Chazal when they live. Well, what did this guest get out of his impostering? Got a good food. Got a good dinner. Achilo, Hishkala, gave him a good dinner. So maybe in that sense, and maybe this is partially what Rav Yonah is saying, you dog. You're like a dog. You're just kind of trying to scavenge around and get food by making believe you're this chash of a person when you're not. How about a mishulach? You know, somebody is collecting tzedakah. So if the guy's dressed like a shlump, you give him a buck. If the guy's just an appearance of a Rosh Hashiva and he has a lot of dignity and he dresses with kavod and he presents himself that way, you're likely to give him more. And so how a person presents himself generates different responses, sometimes of a material nature, on the part of those around him. And so, in effect, Rav Yonah was accusing him of imposturing and using his appearance in illicit ways. Okay? So, come to Fase. What's the guest's name, by the way? Doesn't have a name. He's anonymous. Remains. What?
Ado.
He's anonymous. Mysterious guest. We'll call him the mysterious guest. Come to Fase. The mysterious guest grabs Rav Yonah. It's not exactly a very respectable, dignified thing to do, to grab him, right? Amarle, and he said to him, Yerusasi gabach, the atmoneali. My heritage is with you, and you are preventing me from acquiring it or holding it or being a part of it, or you are withholding my heritage. Amaleis, Rav Yonah said to him, Ma Yerutaseich Gabi. What is this heritage that you have, a Yerusha that you have, that's with me? Like, what are you talking about? Amaleis said to him, by the way, come to Fase is a play on words. Acha Kalba Piste Dianai? come to fasse. Sounds like, it's a play on words, it's a pun. I mean, the author of the Medrash, these were gedolei hador. I mean, these were chazal. They wrote with incredible care, so every word is significant. So Amar Lei said, "Chazman havena avar kame be safra." One time, I was passing the house. I was passing an elementary school, a cheder. Be safer, kids were learning. Ushimayas kolhon de meinikaya amrin, and I heard the voice of little kids reciting this pasuk. Torah tziva lanu Moshe morasha kihilas Yaakov. Morasha kihilas yanai enksiv. It doesn't say that the Torah is the Yerusha of kihilas yanai, such that the Torah only belongs to yanai. No. Ela kihilas Yaakov. The Torah belongs to all the Jews. And you are withholding Torah from me. That's pretty sharp.
He might have been acted the night this way, or doesn't mean what was he withholding from him?
Okay, we have to see. We're going to come to that. That's a very, very good question. We're going to come to that. Very, very important. We have to figure out what he's withholding from him. But just on the face of it, this is a pretty shrewd, sharp critique of Yanai. The question I have for you is, how likely is it that an Am Aretz, who can't even bench, would be able to make this diuk in the pasuk? It's possible, but it's just very, very astute, very sharp. And it's like, okay, maybe he was not a Baki B'mikra. Like, what does it say in Dvarim Chaf Beis Chaf Gimel? Anybody want to tell me? I don't know either. So maybe he wasn't a Baki in Mikra. But, you know, even a person not well educated might know Torah Tziva, Lanu Moshe, Marasha Kilas Yaakov. It doesn't require, you know, any great expertise. So what's this? I was walking along and I heard these kids say, and he would have to have understood it so well to be Medaya, Kilas Yaakov, Yaakov and Yanai. So, right? It's obviously also a play, right? They're so close they sound like each other. So it just, by coincidence, he happened to heard this pasuk, and that pasuk happens to be a dig on Yanai, because Yaakov and Yanai sound like each other? Give me a break. You hear? It's just unlikely. Do you agree with me or not? It's just a little unlikely, which I'm not saying. I'm not telling you that this reading is the truth. I am posing it to you that maybe this mysterious guest is a double imposter. He looks like a Talmud Chacham, even though maybe he's not a great Talmud Chacham. But then he acts like an Am Aretz, but he's really not such an Am Aretz because he knows stuff. He is a double imposter. Because if you take my suggestion that he just so happened to have heard this pasuk and is able to be medayek, I think that's just unlikely, right? So if that's the case, then he's a person of some knowledge, not a great Talmud Chacham, so he's impostering in that respect. But then again, do we know for sure he's not a Talmud Chacham? How do we know for sure he's not a Talmud Chacham?
As a result of this pasuk that he mentioned.
No, this pasuk doesn't entail he's not a Talmud Chacham. How do we know? What's the evidence? Simple reading of the text. What? Exactly. Failed the Bechina. Maybe he failed the Bechina because he wanted to fail the Bechina. Maybe he was really pretty knowledgeable. And maybe he was on a mission. Maybe he really was pretty knowledgeable. And I think the evidence from this whole thing, like I was journeying and I happened to have heard this pusik, and that whole thing is just like, it seems so artificial and so unlikely that this mysterious guest really is pretty mysterious. And his identity, to my mind, is really obscure. He could be a real Talmud Chacham who's making believe he's an Am Aretz. He could be a middling person who's doubly impostering as a Talmud Chacham dressed, making believe he's a total Am Aretz when clearly he's not. And that's why I say that he is truly a mysterious guest. And I can't really sort it out with any certainty. Do you have any thoughts about that? Are you with me in my considerations here? And I'm going to make this even more complicated. If you think this is complicated enough, we have to continue with the story. Because it gets the Baal HaMedrash makes it even more complicated in my judgment. But in any case, what is the Yerusha? Who asked the question? You did? You are mayor. What is the Yerusha that he's referring to?
I understand that the Torah, but
you understand what?
It's a Torah.
What?
Torah.
But, Torah?
Yeah, but how Yanai stopping him?
How what?
How is Monea?
How is he Monea? Okay, very good. So, one possible way that most Mepharshim say is that although Yanai is Am Aretz, appears to be an Am Aretz, nevertheless, every Jew has a chelek in Torah. And by treating me poorly, you're treating me as if I don't have a chelek in the Torah. I may be an Am Aretz, but somehow I have a chelek in the Torah. Every Jew has it. By the way, I think I personally believe that. I believe every Jew, every Yid has a chelek in the Torah. Not from knowledgeable, not knowledgeable. Personally, that's what I think. I think that the Torah resonates in the neshama of every Jew. It's my own personal belief. And on that, if that's what the Medrash is saying, then that what the mysterious guest is saying is that you are treating me as if I am like some shegetz. Right? Hashem said I to my neshama too as a portion of the Torah, even if it's not actualized. So that's the way the most Mepharshim read it. And that may be correct, but there is another reading too, which I want to pose, and I think this becomes even more important later. Because what's the overall theme, as I mentioned, of Derech Eretz? And the very conclusion of the Medrash is Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. So the question I have for you is, what is the relationship between Derech Eretz and Torah? Are these two discrete spheres? Or is Derech Eretz a part of Torah? If somebody is a Baal Derech Eretz, are they also a Baal Torah with respect to Derech Eretz? In other words, does the Torah's teaching embrace Derech Eretz such that if somebody is a Baal Derech Eretz, then they are embracing that aspect of Torah? Or is Derech Eretz segregated from Torah? They're totally different things. Torah is halacha, what it says, and Derech Eretz is courtesy, civility, being, you know, good manners. How do you understand the relationship between Derech Eretz and Torah? You with me? Is it a fair question? What do you think?
I mean, there's the idea of Torah, and then Torah encompasses also Derech Eretz, meaning...
Well, it's not only the idea of Torah, by the way, it's also the kiyum of Torah. The kiyum of mitzvahs is also part of Torah, right?
Right, so it's someone that actualizes within the Torah, they will also produce within themselves a way of Derech Eretz.
So that you're saying that Derech Eretz is a part of Torah. Is that what you're saying? I'm not sure. How are you answering my question? I asked you whether Derech Eretz is a separate sphere that's not a part of Torah, or is it part of Torah? What does Torah embrace?
So there's a part of the Torah that's separate to Derech Eretz, and there's a part of the Torah that's connected.
Which is which? Which part of Torah, which part of Derech Eretz, which part of Torah is connected to Derech Eretz, and which part of Torah is not?
I'm not sure.
Neither am I. Yes. Grant.
Does that mean Derech Eretz is like in the world, like civilization, people have come to like what they feel is right, but
that holds true Doros,
you
know.
But
when,
like, in learning the Torah, the halachas in the Torah, like,
so that would inform the Derech Eretz. Exactly correct. There are elements of Derech Eretz which are mitzvos ben adam l'chavero, right? I mean, what Rabbi Yannai did to the mysterious guest, as I am calling him, that certainly violated Derech Eretz. That's the theme of this medrash. Would you say there was an isser? What's the isser? There is an isser. Onas dvarim. Yeah. Vayish pnei chavero barabim. Well, that's not barabim, but onas dvarim. It's a mission in Bava Metzia. This is onas dvarim. He hurt somebody's feelings. So
it's also question the legitimacy of Rav Yannai.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%.
His knowledge of respect.
Exactly. Rav Yannai himself says that he failed. So, like, I'm not saying anything that he himself doesn't say. This is the Shayim. This is Rav Yannai's teaching. Shayim Arche Sagi Shari Shave. So Rav Yannai himself ultimately regards himself as failed. So there are elements of Derech Eretz are clearly a part of Torah. On the other hand, somebody walks into the room, you shake his hand. Don't shake his hand. If you don't shake his hand, is that, in some countries, anybody here from France, like, it's very common to kiss?
That's societal. That's
societal, very... right. That's also Derech Eretz. So Derech Eretz happens to be a term in Chazal which has very broad range. Yafet Tamatarim Derech Eretz. What does that mean there?
Working.
So work is Derech Eretz. Civility or good manners is Derech Eretz, and it's also Derech Eretz to respect people, which is a chiyuv in the Torah. So Derech Eretz is a very broad category, and I think it's fair to say, or one could argue, that Derech Eretz is a part of Torah. And maybe Rabbi Yannai, what the mysterious guest is telling Rabbi Yannai is that you are flawed in Derech Eretz. You know, I'm a Baal Derech Eretz, as he goes on to prove. And you're not. And so you're not liberating Derech Eretz to me. Like, let's continue. I told you, it gets even more complicated. It's a very, very subtle and profound medrash, I think. Amole, he said to him, Lama zachisa lemechal al pisori? Why were you zocha to eat bread on my table? So he takes the mysterious guest lesson, and then they said, why were you Zocha then? Well, how would you take that? Is Rav Yannai reformed? Has he done tshuva? What would you say?
Getting ready,
is that what you said?
Yeah,
but did he? He's still treating him like an outcast.
Why were you Zocha to eat bread at my table? You know, so he's like, he's going to say, it's like, it's what is this schus? You have to have a schus to eat at my table? Like, I'm the big shayim.
I mean, he's a great guddle, but like, Rabbi Yannai still hasn't wrapped his arm around the ability to respect this mysterious guest because of his imposturing. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's interesting. Rabbi Yannai has changed, but he's not all the way there, and it continues. Amarle, did you want to say something?
There is a concept of recognizing your own chashivas. Right?
Sure.
So, meaning, just because the guest yelled at Rav Yannai, doesn't mean that Rav Yannai has to be like, oh, you're right, like, I'm not so chashiv, and therefore...
You're absolutely right, I agree with you, and there's no reason for Rav Yannai to believe or assert that he's not chashiv. But if I were to invite you to my, you know, my dinner, and then I said, how come you were zocha to come to my table? Like, you know, you lowly being, what gives you the schus to come to my table? That's still insulting. It's not like calling him a dog. So he's progressed from doghood, but it's still a little insulting, right? So Rabbi Yannai is
kind
moving.
He's
what?
Kind of the way people react to bad day.
Bad day. Okay. Said, Amale. So now here's the mysterious guest's response, answer to the question, why were you Zocha to come to my table? Amarle, miyomai lo shemayis mila bisha v'chazarti lemare. I never heard a bad word and returned it to its owner. Not clear exactly what that means. The Mefarshim suggest two readings.
Isn't bisha embarrassment?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, correct. So one interpretation is that if A said Lashon Hara about B, and C overheard it, then C never went back to B and to tell him the Lashon Hara was told about. In other words, he didn't make things worse than they were. That's one interpretation. Another is that if somebody said something bad about him, he never went back to the author and to object. Those are two interpretations. Tell me the problem with each. Neither of these interpretations. In other words, he's now shown up. Why was I Zocha? Well, I was Zocha because of this. Now, this is his first answer. So, on either of these interpretations, what's problematic with it? Are you satisfied with this? Well, he's saying these are Baal Derech Eretz, in effect, as the Medrash, that's the term the Medrash use about him. These are expressions of Derech Eretz. If you heard somebody tell Lashon Hara about somebody else, would you regard it as like, this guy's a real tzaddik, he never told the guy who's... Like, that's such a big deal, is it? I mean, it's kind of a little nasty, even, really, to go back to B and say, you know what A was telling, he was saying about you? But you don't have to be such a tzaddik not to do that. I mean, it's, you know, is it so common? I mean, okay, but is it so common? I don't know. I don't think this is such a big deal. And on the other reading, that he never went back to somebody who said bad things. He never responded to somebody who said bad things to him. The story subverts that. He did it. Yanni said something nasty. He grabbed him by he grabbed him. Well, that's not exactly an expression of what he just said. He is virtuous, right? So that's a little puzzling, wouldn't you agree? On both counts. And look at the second answer. V'lo chamis train de miskatchin dein im dein v'lo yavis shloma beineho. I never saw two people quarrel that I didn't bring peace between them. That's lovely. There's only one problem with that. What's the problem? It's impossible. Every single argument that he ever witnessed, he was always able to bring peace between the people. That sounds incredible to me. Have you ever seen people really fight? I hope you haven't, but it's very, very hard to bring peace to people who are really fighting. Try a husband and a wife who are about to get divorced. They're not likely to be too peaceful. He must have some magic elixir. Like he sprinkled it on them and all of a sudden peace emerged. Like, how could he do this? It just doesn't seem to me. Tell me if you agree or disagree. To me, this seems incredible. Yes, if he said, I always tried to bring peace. I hear that. It's my tzitzkus. And you don't always succeed, but you always try, right? I got that. I think that's wonderful. But that's not what he says. He says he always brought peace. That's got to be an exaggeration, don't you think? No? Well, do you agree or not agree?
I don't have a clear how this relates to the situation where he's answering. And all of my arguments that I've witnessed...
No, not my... Peace. Whenever I witness two people arguing, I always brought peace between them.
Well, how does that relate to the situation?
It's just an example of his derech eretz, his tzidkus. You know, I may not be a Talmid Chacham, but look, this is what I am. Do you find it credible or not? Do you agree with me or not? Grant? I don't know, you're... Yeah. It just seems like, why didn't he just make the more modest claim that he always tried? That's wonderful. That's, you know, Aaron, the story about Aaron, Oev Shalom, Roder Shalom. Maybe Aaron could do it, but like, you know, it just seems like. Okay, I don't know. So then, Amar Le, Kol Hadad Derech Eretz Gabach Ukarisach Kalbach, your such Derech Eretz of Yanai is blown away. Like by what? According to some interpretations, he didn't even follow his own... He didn't bring peace between Rabbi Yannai and him. He fought him. And he definitely reacted negatively when Rabbi Yannai said something negative to him. So his interaction with Rabbi Yannai is the antithesis of the claims he makes about himself. Contradicts those claims. Is that not true? And now Rabbi Yannai is blown away by this. Whoa, such derech eretz. Kralei v'sam derech d'shayim arche sagilei dam Rabbi Yishmael bar Nachman esrim v'shisha doros kadma derech eretz satorah. Gishmar is Derech Eitz Chaim, Derech Zo Derech Eretz, Achach Eitz Chaim Zo Torah. Derech Eretz comes before Torah. So I find this very puzzling. It's a beautiful story, and it's a wonderful Musar Haskel, but when you analyze it carefully, as I mentioned earlier, the pieces don't all quite hang together. You agree with me? So we are, I think, left in a bit of a fix here, a bit of a puzzle. One of the things that this Medrash does is it complicates two binaries. Two binary opposites. The first one is between a Talmud Chacham and an Am Aretz. We tend to think an Am Aretz is a total ignoramus. Talmud Chacham is great Talmud Chacham, and there never shall the twain meet. But this Agadah undercuts that binary. Why? Because this Am Aretz may not have been such an Am Aretz. He may have either been a true Talmud Chacham, imposturing as an Am Aretz, or somewhere in the middle. He may not have been a real Am Aretz. He's astute, he's sharp. He is certainly not perfect, or we have no evidence that he's perfect in his Torah knowledge, but we have no evidence that he's perfect in his Midos either, because the examples he brings for himself, he's just undercut with his own behavior, at least according to some interpretations. So what is an Am Aretz? Knowledgeable, not knowledgeable? He's the Baal Derech Eretz. What is Derech Eretz? Is he full Baal Derech Eretz? Not really. Then, of course, Rabbi Yanai. He's Talmud Chacham. But he doesn't exemplify the midos that we would expect of a Talmud Chacham, which he himself admits. And Derech Eretz is a part of Torah, and his virtue is the knowledge of Torah, then he's missing some important knowledge. There's a parallel, I have to finish, I know, but let me just quickly finish. There's a parallel, Agada to Bar Rabbi Yanai. There was a Rochel, somebody who, you know, a merchant, traveling merchant, was going around saying, who wants to buy life? Who wants to buy life? And he passed by Rabbi Yanai's house, and I guess Rabbi Yanai was interested, and he invited him in, and he said, well, sell me life. Mi ha'ish ha'chafetz chayim? No? Was tov, nesar l'shan chamera, no lashon hara. So here you have this average, like, merchant guy, not a Talmud Chacham, but is now also teaching Rabbi Yanai something about Derech Eretz. So and there it is an interpretation of a pasuk. The Am Aretz provides an interpretation of this pasuk that Rabbi Yanai was not at least cognizant of. In both of these agadotas, you have the Talmud Chacham being taught Torah and Derech Eretz, Lashon Hara, this behavior, which may be a part of Torah, to the Talmud Chacham. So who's a Talmud Chacham and who's an Am Aretz? And maybe one of the central themes of the Agadata is that human beings have a natural inclination to stereotype, to look at people through a particular lens. For example, smart or dumb, or handsome or beautiful, or male or female, or athletic or clumsy. We have many different categories depending upon who you are, which categories you will use. Gender is a very important category. We all have these categories. And I think my reading of this, Agadata, is that human beings exist in their raw individuality, and that the categories of Am Aretz and Talmud Chacham don't capture the true complexities of the human condition, and that the reason why Derech Eretz is so important is because you can't treat people according to your initial expectations about them. Rabbi Yanai thought this person was, this mysterious guest, was a great Talmud Chacham. Well, he didn't act that way. He acted like a Baal Derech Eretz, but he didn't have total Baal Derech Eretz. There's all the categories break down. And I think that's at the heart of what one way of thinking about Derech Eretz. If every human being is treated with respect merely by virtue of their humanity, irrespective of which category they fit into, smart, dumb, you know, acing organic chemistry, D-ing organic chemistry, it makes no difference. This person. And I would suggest to you that the fluid identity of this Am Haaretz may have been a strategy depicted by the Baal Medrash on this person's part, on this mysterious... He never has a name. I keep on calling the mysterious guest, and I would suggest to you that it's precisely his mysteriousness, precisely the ambiguity of his character, which is the ultimate message of Derech Eretz. It provides a way of thinking about what could lead to true Derech Eretz, which is break down the categories. Even the binary, another binary is Torah and Derech Eretz. You know, Torah and Derech Eretz. But if you think more deeply about it, that binary too is much more complicated. Because Derech really, Eretz, Anas Devarim is really a part of Torah. So a lot of the categories that we usefully use to engage people in thinking about our great values are themselves oversimplifications. And more deeply you think about them, the more you realize that they are oversimplifications. And I would argue that this mysterious guest may have been a great Talmud Chacham. Remember, those of you who went to my shiur back in Camp Dor Golding, I don't know if Grant was there, I think Mayer was there, some of you were there earlier. Dor Golding, I gave a shiur about Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who met this ugly person at the riverbank. And one of the Mefarshim, Rashi, Tysus brings it down, says that he was Eliyahu Hanavi. Yeah, I don't know, you know, if that's necessarily the shot there. Maybe it is. Tysus says it. And I'm not saying that this mysterious guest is Eliyahu Hanavi, but what I'm suggesting to you is that there's a mystery to this guest. We can't pin him down. He may have been a total Talmud Chacham who came to teach Rabbi Yannai Derech Eretz. And so he went through this whole imposturing, a little bit like, remember the story with Rebbe during the famine? Some of you learned that Agadah with me. Remember Rebbe in the famine? And somebody came in, he outlawed all Amei Aretz from entering in to take food from the storehouse. And then somebody came in and he's poor, I'm starving, how can I give it to you? You're an Am Haaretz, I can't give it to you, Amei Aretz can't get. But it turns out he was one of his own Talmidim who could disguise himself. And disguise himself to teach Rabbi Yannai that you can't make these judgments about people merely on the basis of appearance. That's so much a part of how we function in society. We look at somebody and we draw conclusions about them. And that's not necessarily a bad thing because it is helpful. But it's bad if we are imprisoned by the categories that people draw out of their pockets to make sense out of the world. And if we're imprisoned by that, and I would suggest to you that's the Morosh Akilas Yaakov, that it's imprisoned in Yannai. Yannai is keeping people imprisoned by the categories. And this, I think, this Agadah at a very deep level, because of all of its contradictions and complexities, that's really its message, that you can't use those categories. And if you want to know how to become a Baal Derech Eretz, is to strip away those categories. I see you, I know. You are who you are. You're a person. Morash HaKilas Yaakov, that was the teaching. Everybody's a Jew. And that's all that matters. And you need to liberate yourself from the prison of expectations, stereotypes, and categories, and that can lead to a true respect for every human being and every Jew by virtue of who he or she is. And that's really, I would suggest to you, the mother of Derech Eretz.